Okay, so last week we started talking about Olam Haba. Specifically, we considered whether this is a topic we should be discussing or we shouldn't be discussing. We concluded that perhaps it's worth continuing a little bit, and that's what brings us here today. And today, what we're going to try to figure out is actually what Olam Haba is. I gave you a new set of Makoros. Though some of these are overlapping, if you could open them up. So what happens when we die? If we take a look at the first source over here, Pasuk in Koheles, it tells us that when we die, V'yashuv ha'afar el ha'aretz kishehaya, v'ruach tashuv al ha'alokim asher nesana. So death is really the separation of the body and soul. As long as we're alive, our body and soul are united in really an incredible partnership. What the Ramban calls a pella, as we say in Asher Yatzar, Mafli Lasos. And when we die, so the body and soul separate, the body returns to the ground, it is buried, and the soul returns to God. So what exactly does that mean? And we're going to start with the approach of the Rambam and then work on the approach of the Ramban. So the Rambam is pretty simple. The Rambam says that the idea is, oh, look at that. I forgot to put an important marmakom. Okay. So the Rambam writes, I'm going to have to add it right now. You could actually take it from last week's source. I think if I add it now, you'll actually be able to see it as well. So the Rambam says that when a person dies, so they go to Olam Haba, at least if they're worthy of Olam Haba, and Olam Haba exists now, and Olam Haba is a spiritual existence. And the Rambam bases this on a Gemara. The Rambam is going to tell you he's citing this Gemara, so we'll just take a quick look at the Gemara right now. And the Gemara offers a metaphor for what Olam Haba is. So this is, again, if you want, you could see it in last week's Makoros, and I'll just put it on here as well right now. Second. I apologize. Okay. So it's a Gemara from Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara describes exactly what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba, ein bo lo achila velo shtia velo pirya verivya velo mas umatan velo kina velo sina velo tacharas ela tzadikim yoshen vatrosen b'roshayim v'nenem zivashchina. So what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is Tzaddikim sitting around. So there's no achila, there's no shtia. So that seems to be pretty straightforward. The Rambam says that tells us that we don't have a body. So if that's true, if we don't have a body, that's why we don't need to eat and drink. So then what is meant by tzaddikim yoshvin, tzaddikim sit? So clearly, yoshvim can't be literal. If you have no body, you can't sit. So the Rambam, as this is Derech, is going to carefully take apart this metaphor and explain to us what exactly it means. So let's look at the next source, the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Ches, Halacha Beis. Olam Haba, ein bo guf v'gviya, el nefashos ha-tzadikim milvad b'lo guf, k'malach yashari. So we have no physical body. We exist. Just because we don't have a physical component doesn't mean we don't exist, just like angels. Angels exist, though they're non-physical creatures. Hol ve'ein bo gvias, ve'ein bo lo achila lo shtia, ve'lo davar mikol dvarim shegufos b'nei adam tzrichim lahen b'olam hazeh, since there is no body, ve'lo yera bo min advarim she'ma'arin legufos b'olam hazeh, and the things that happen to bodies in olam hazeh, physical bodies won't happen to a person in olam haba, k'gon yeshiva v'amida v'sheina, u'misa ve'etzev v'schol k'kiyotzi b'hen, right? You're not going to be able to stand or sit or anything like that. You won't experience emotions either, or at least things like sadness or laughter or the like. כך אנו חכמים הראשונים, העולם הבא, אין בו להכיל, לא שתייה ולא תשע מיטה, סיכות לגמר וג'סה, אלא צדיקים יושן והתרוסן בראשן נענה מזה והשכינה. צדיקים sit with their crowns on their head, and they enjoy the ziv השכינה. הרי נסברר לך שאין שם גוף, לפי שאין שם אכיל ושתייה. I've shown to you that there's no body. The Rambam needs to prove there's no body, because as we'll see shortly, there are those that say, the Rambam was aware of this view, that we do have a body. So he says, I've shown you that clearly there is no body. Otherwise, why would Chazal tell us there's no achil and shtia? So I've shown to you that there's no body. V'zesha amru, tzadikim yoshvin, derachida amru. That which they said that the tzadikim are sitting, so sitting here is a metaphor. It's not to be taken literally, because if you don't have a body, you can't sit. So what is it a metaphor for? Kilomar, hatzadikim mitzuyin sham below amel uvelo yagia. Existence on all of Haba is one that could be compared to sitting. In other words, there's no toil, there's no difficulty. V'chol zeh she'amru at rosen v'roshehen. So what is the crowns that are on our head? Kilomar, das she'yedu she'biglala zachul chayel haba mitzuya imahen. So the das through which we were merited Olam Haba is with us. That lasts forever. That stays with us. One of the ideas that you see in many of these Svarim when they discuss Olam Haba is the idea that Olam Haba is primarily a naturalistic reward as opposed to some type of artificial remuneration. Well, let me explain what I mean. Let's give a mashal. I ask my kids, go clean your room. So I could say to them, go clean your room and I'll buy you ice cream, in which case I'm rewarding them. But there's no real connection between a clean room and ice cream. It's totally artificial. Or I could say to them, go clean your room and then you'll be able to find all those things that you lost and you'll be able to sit on the floor and you won't trip and all those things. That's a natural consequence. A natural consequence of a clean room is that you'll lose fewer things. So when we talk about Olam Haba, what type of reward are we talking about? So the Rambam stresses here as well as in many places that it's a natural reward. It's not just the Rambam, Nefesh HaChaim, others from talk about it as well, that the natural reward, a natural consequence of Torah and mitzvot that we do on this world is that we become spiritual people. And as such, we're able to enjoy the spiritual existence that is Olam Haba. A joke is told, but I think it's a joke that, though a joke, yeah, has a certain, certainly an element of truth to it, that the two people died on the same day, a tzaddik and a rasha. So they come up to Shamayim, and the tzaddik's about to be taken, of course, to Olam Haba. So the Rasha says, you know what, can I cut him along? Let me see where he's going. So the angels take him up. They open the door. It's a big, giant base medrash. And the tzaddik's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know, eternity in a base medrash, what could be better? Okay, so now it's time for the Rasha to go. And the angel takes the Rasha, and he opens the door. And, oh, it's a giant base medrash. And the Rasha says, you know, what could be greater hell than eternity in a base medrash? The idea is that if you've prepared yourself, if you've become a spiritual person, so then you'll be able to enjoy the spiritual pleasure that is Olam Haba. Someone recently showed me a great Mar Makom that made this point explicitly, but I don't remember what it was. I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. Al Kalpanim. So the Rambam saying that what is our crown? Our crown is the knowledge that we acquired in this world. And specifically, the Rambam here is referring to knowledge of God, as he explains more extensively in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Yedias Hashem is a mitzvah, and it is something that, it is the aspect of us, the Rambam writes there, which is eternal. The greatest knowledge is the knowledge of Hashem, and that stays with us. What makes us human, what our Tzelem Elokim is our ability. We talked about this earlier in the year, to comprehend abstract concepts, to conceptualize. the greatest of which is God, in the sense that God is totally non-physical, yet we're able to relate to non-physical things, that stays with us. Now, the Rambam over here, of course, seems to be stressing intellectual achievements with respect to Olam Haba. And that is a important idea in the Rambam. The Rambam, in many contexts, stresses the importance of intellectual achievements. Does that mean that the Rambam doesn't value anything besides intellectual achievements? So I think if we look more broadly in the Rambam, perhaps another time we could have a shiur on this, because this really does require elaboration. But the Rambam elsewhere tells us that, no, there's more to Olam Haba than the spiritual achievements. The Rambam famously at the end of Maran Vuchim talks about Alis Haloch Hachan B'Chachmaso, and even the intellectual perfection is not the greatest type of perfection. Kim Bezosi Salalmas Kibiadosi, and the Rambam continues, that means following the ways of Hashem. Elsewhere in Hilchos Tshuva, he talks about the importance of Torah and mitzvos, not just intellectual achievements. But it would seem that the greatest of the intellectual achievements, the greatest achievement in a sense, the crown that stays with us, is the Das She'edu Shebiglala Zachul Chaylov. I'll get to your question slowly. I'm just going to finish reading the Rambam. And that is the Atara. So, right, we have this mashal. The tzaddikim have the Atara on their head. So now the Rambam says, what is the Atara? What is that crown? The crown is that knowledge that they've acquired throughout their lifetime. In other words, in that pasuk that he's quoting over here, so it's clear that the atara is not a literal atara, right? Simchas olam can't be a crown on your head. So we're talking about a metaphorical crown. And thus, it makes sense that the metaphorical crown that the Chachamim are referring to in this context is Yediya. Umau zeh she'amru nenem mizev ha'shechina, she'yodim u'masigim me'amitas ha'kadosh baruch hu, ma she'enam yodim ve'heim beguf ha'afel ha'shafel. They understand from God that which they are not able to understand when they're in their lowly body. So first of all, let's point out the Rambam here writes, Mei amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person during lifetime and after lifetime can never fully understand God by definition. We are limited. However, the Rambam writes here that we're less limited when we die. Why? Because we're not bound by or limited by our bodies. Having a physical body limits our ability. So a person can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a certain degree while they're alive, but they're limited. And therefore, their net, what we mean by nenem is ivashchina, the Rambam says, is that after the person dies, he's unencumbered by his body. He's able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that he couldn't while he's alive. And that's the greatest possible pleasure. The truth is that even in this world, it's the greatest possible pleasure. The Rambam very frequently writes about the association between Avas Hashem and pleasure and joy and happiness. And Avas Hashem in this world as well, if you look at the Sefer Mitzvos, for example, and Avas Hashem and his discussion at the end of Perek Yod of Hilchos Tshuva, Avas Hashem is also comes from Yediya. The Rambam associates Ava with Yediya. So even in this world, that's true. But in this world, we're limited. And that's what we saw last week in the Rambam. Also, Hilchos Tshuva, Kama Kama David. David longed for Olam Haba. Why did he long for Olam Haba? For that closeness to God that he was unable to achieve while in this world. Lulei Hamanti Leros B'Hashem Be'etz Chaim. So David HaMelech longed for Olam Haba because that would give him the opportunity to achieve closeness and comprehension of God in a way that was impossible while in this world. So that is the idea of Olam Haba according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, a person dies and if he's rowing, he goes to Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba? A spiritual existence. It's a spiritual existence that allows us to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the opposite of Olam Haba? The Rambam writes, and these are the makoros we had last week, I don't want to spend too much time on the Rambam because I want to actually focus today on the Rambam, but the Rambam writes that the ultimate punishment is karis. What is karis for the Rambam? It means lack of olam haba. The worst possible thing is a person dies and then ceases to exist. That's in a sense worse than Gehenim. Gehenim, as we'll talk about later maybe, is something that's actually an opportunity, not a pleasant experience, but it's something that prepares someone for that spiritual existence. That's olam haba. The Rambam does not focus on Gehenim. He barely mentions it. But because the Rambam, what the Rambam does stress is that the worst possible punishment is a lack of existence. So that's the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam talks extensively about Imos Mashiach. The Rambam does not tell us, though, what the role of Trias HaMesim is. That's a challenge, which we'll return to shortly. Yes, Ruli.
I remember a different time when we were looking at the Rambam, he was speaking about this similar type of like intellectual perfection and how there are some people who are almost meant to support the boss. And I'm curious in what sense was the Rambam, meaning it seems to relate a lot to like something that I think in Plato's Allegory of the Cave, where he talked a lot about like the philosopher and how that's kind of there's like this, I don't mean with like negative connotation of the word elitist, but like there's this elitist idea of like the smartest and most intellectual are really the ones who are going to kind of rise above everyone else. I'm curious to what extent like we find out other Rishonim, if that theme is similar, or if maybe there's some influence from Rambam's engagement with like Aristotle or other type of Greek thinkers.
Right. It's a very good question. One which I don't think I could answer al ragal achas. Perhaps we could do a shiur on maybe the Rambam's relationship with philosophy and with the Greeks and the extent of the influence and the like. And this is definitely a good example of that. And we'll actually see later today, I hope, that that there are those that challenge this perspective of the Rambam based off of the influence of the philosophers, the Greeks. We'll see the Maral, as well as the Geras HaKodesh attributed to the Ramban, who make that claim. So that's an important question. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit, and then maybe if you're interested, we could do we could discuss it more broadly another time. Okay, so Ad Kan the Rambam. The idea, though, again, there are issues with the Rambam. But the idea that Olam Haba is a spiritual existence and there's therefore no need for a body is quite intuitive. Why would we have a body in Olam Haba? The Rishonim, chief among them the Rama and the Ramban, challenged the Rambam on this assumption. And they bring a number of rayos that Chazal associate Olam Haba with Tchias HaMesim, which would seem to suggest that there is a body in Olam Haba. We'll look at one of the rayos that they bring. It's the next source, the Gemara from Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, Shneem Mar Vamechul Em Tzadikim Li Olam Yirshu Aretz, Neitzar Matai, Maseh Yadai Lisvayar, Ve'elu Shem Lam Chelek Olam Haba, Ha'omer Ein Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. So someone who denies Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah has no Chelek in Olam Haba. What? Says the Gemara, V'kol Kach Lama, Tana who kafar b'tchias ha-meisim, l'fikach lo yelo chelot b'tchias ha-meisim. Shekol midosav shal kadosh baruch hu mida k'negen mida. He denied tchias ha-meisim, and therefore, he should have no chelek in tchias ha-meisim, because everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mida k'negen mida. Now, here's the question. He was kofar in tchias ha-meisim, therefore he has no chelek in tchias ha-meisim. But the Mishnah said he has no chelek in Olam Haba. Should say, kol... You know, Ha'omer ein tchias ha-meisim in HaTorah, ein lo tchias ha-meisim. But it says, ein lo chelek lam haba, and that's mida k'neged mida. Hu kafar ba, lefikach lo yelo chelek ba. So clearly, at least the simple reading of this Gemara, is that tchias ha-meisim is olam haba. So one challenge to the Rambam is sources like this in Chazal, which seem to equate olam haba and tchias ha-meisim. Number two, a different type of challenge, is what is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim? The Rambam goes ahead and clearly, the Rambam believes in Tchis HaMeisim. It's one of the Adgam Olikai Emunah. But the idea of Tchis HaMeisim is very odd for the Rambam. After all, we're plucking this person from Olam Haba, this spiritual existence where their nenim is of Ashchina. They're able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the greatest possible way. And we take him out of that situation and we throw him back into this world. That doesn't seem very fun. What would it be about? And if we take a look, actually, at the Ravid over here, Amar Avram, Divrei Ha'ish Hazeh, Be'enai, Krovim L'misha Omer, Ein Tchis HaMeisim L'Gufos, El Neshamos Bilvad. So he doesn't quite attack the Rambam and say that he denies Tchis HaMeisim, but it almost sounds like he does. And indeed, there were those that claimed that the Rambam does not believe in Tchis HaMeisim. Now, the Rambam addresses this question. First of all, like we said, it's clear and unequivocal that he believed in Tchis HaMeisim in his Hakdamah to Perek HaChelak, where he presents the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. He writes Tchis HaMeisim, who Yisod Mi Yisodei Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav HaShalom, Ve'ein Das, Ve'lo Dveikos, Bedas Yudis, L'mi She'ein, Lo Ya'amin B'zeh. So, absolutely affirms his belief. But people attacked him, and so he defended himself in his Igeres Tchis HaMeisim, which you have over here. If you look at the second paragraph first, he says, you know, I shouldn't be surprised that people claim I don't believe in Tchis HaMeisim, even though I unequivocally wrote that I did, because look, I'm no worse than God. You know, God said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and yet people said he's three. Despite his clear and unambiguous declaration. So if they can do that to God, then okay, then they could do it to me also. But the question, of course, is what is Tchis HaMeisim for the Rambam? So the Rambam writes, going back to the first paragraph, Avchein yirah lanu min ha-ma'amarim ha-heim, she'elu anashim asher yeshuvu nafshosam legufam ha-heim. When the neshamos return to the guf, when there is the resurrection, yochlu v'yishtu v'yishgalu v'yolidu v'yamusu achrei chayim aruchem. They're going to come back alive, they'll live a long, pleasant life, and then they'll die again. Chayim aruchem od, a very long life, kechayim hanim tzayim b'yos Mashiach. The Amnam, Rambam seems to imply, it might happen b'yos Mashiach, it doesn't necessarily have to. There's more on that, maybe we'll get to later. When we talk about the Mashiach, v'avnam achaim she'en mavis achareihem, but the true eternal life, hu chaylam haba, achar she'en guf bahem, right? Eternal life is not going to be eternal life with a body, it's going to be eternal life without a body. She'anachnu namin, v'hu ha'emes eitzel kol benda, she'olam haba, nefashos mibli gufos, kemalachim, as he said before. What is the purpose of Tchis HaMeisim? In one place, the Rambam implies that Tchis HaMeisim allows the tzaddikim to come back to experience this world, to do more Torah and mitzvos, acquire greater understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such that when they die again, they'll be in an even better place. As we talked about last week, that once this world is the world of Avoda, and therefore you're limited by what you accomplished while you were alive. The Rambam likewise writes, why did the tzaddikim long for Yemos HaMashiach? It's not because they want to eat or drink or rule over their enemies. It's because it's a time and opportunity where they'll be able to focus on their Avodas Hashem and focus on Torah and mitzvot in a way that they couldn't while in the non-Messianic era. Nowadays, there's so many things that distract us from our Avodas Hashem. Yemos HaMashiach is a time where we won't experience those distractions. So that is in terms of Tchis HaMeisim. And that point is made actually the source below in Hilchos Malachim, like I just said. But now I want to, as I said, focus really on the Ramban's pshat. So the Ramban disagrees, as we saw. He proves from Chazal that there's an association between Tchis HaMeisim and Olam Haba. So let's read a little bit about what he says. So turn down to where it says Tarsa Adam Shar Gmul, where the Ramban discusses this extensively. Schar nefashos v'kiyumam b'olam haneshamos nikra l'rabosenu gan eden. So when a person dies nowadays, they go to the olam haneshamos. The better place in olam haneshamos is gan eden, There's also a concept of Gehenim. Gehenim, we believe, at least for most people, short term. The maximum sentence is a year. That's why the minhag is people only say Kaddish for their parents for 11 months. They don't want to imply that they got the maximum penalty. So what is the Olam HaNeshamos? It's what the word says. It's the neshama existing without the guf, right? The guf has been buried. The person has died. And their soul exists in the Olam HaNeshamos. And that is called Gan Eden. So the Ramban here is saying that Gan Eden is not the same thing as Olam Haba. There are other names for the Olam HaNeshamos. Pamim Koranoso Aliyah, the Yeshiva Shalmala. Yeshiva Shalmala, these are other metaphors, other terms used to refer to Gan Eden, the Olam HaNeshamos. Vamru Kain, and this is a place of Schar. Schar to the Nefashos HaTzadikim. As we talked about last week, on this world, what happens? The history progresses, and eventually Mashiach will come, we hope, very soon. And Mashiach is part of Olam Hazeh. It's a perfected Olam Hazeh, but it's still part of Olam Hazeh. Uvesofan, at the end of the Messianic era, Yehe Yom Hadin v'Tchias HaMeisim. There's going to be this Yom Hadin HaGadol v'Nora, which will usher in the period of Tchias HaMeisim. Shehu Aschar HaKolel, So if you're coming back alive, if there's going to be the resurrection, so clearly we're going to have not just soul, but soul and body. And it's in that context that there will be the reward for the guf and nefesh. That is Olam Haba. Olam Haba, that's what he writes over here. That is the main thing. The main deal, it's what people who long for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are longing for. V'ulam haba, it is olam haba, meaning post-chias ha-meisim, when we have guf and nefesh, schar ha-kolel, the schar that relates to both the guf and the nefesh, that is olam haba, shebo yishuv ha-guf kemo ha-nefesh. V'ha-nefesh tidabek b'das al-yon, kadbaka b'gan eden, olam ha-neshamos. In other words, olam ha-neshamos, whereby it's just the neshama, and the neshama is Mizdabeg with the Shekhinah, but that happens in Olam Haba as well, but to a greater degree. And that's what he says. V'tis aleb hasaga gdola mimena. Your hasaga, your achievement, your attainment, your understanding of God, your closeness to God in Olam Haba will be even greater than it is in Gan Eden, in the Olam HaNeshamos. V'yakiyum hakol ade ad ulenetzach nesachem. And this will be eternal life. So this is the Ramban. Now, there are a couple of questions on the Ramban. The first is, what is the point of the body? If indeed it's a spiritual existence, if like Chazal say, there's lo achila, lo shtia, lo tashmir mita, so why do we have, a stomach if we're not going to eat? So we have to understand that statement in Chazal. We have to understand the purpose of the guf. Why is there a guf? Why does it last forever? So the Ramban here addresses this. Vim tashiv aleinu, b'yos ha-guf mechubar mikli ha-shimush l'pu'ulos ha-nefesh l'shlosha chalakim shizkir anshei ha-ion. So the parts of the body, the philosophers and the scientists divided up into three basic categories. V'heim kli ha-mazon, the digestive system, v'kli ha-zera, the reproductive system, v'kli tikun ha-guf, the general bodily system, like I guess the heart and the lungs, things like that. V'aguf b'chlalo tzorech mitziuso hu ba'avur tachlis achad v'hi tachlis achlis mazon l'kiyum aguf u'holid dimyono, right? So each system has a purpose, right? Why do we have a stomach? Because we need to digest our food. U'kshinistalik ha-tachlis ahi l'olam haba. When that purpose is gone in olam haba, right? Everybody agrees there's lo achila v'lo shtia. Why do we need these unnecessary organs? There's nothing for naught. So what is the purpose of the guf in Olam Haba? So this is an important question, and we'll answer it over the next several minutes. So first he says, Hine b'tshuvas ha-tshuva l'chol zeh, ki hi ha-isa ha-briya zos l'zman t'chis ha-meisim l'tzorach ha-shimusha n'izkarim v'in l'akadosh baruch hu lo tzeh b'bitul ha-chrechein. So first of all, you have to realize that initially at the time of t'chis ha-meisim, it sounds like there might have still been achila v'shtia, there therefore was a need for these organs, and they continued to stay afterwards. V'od, yesh betzura hazos sodos amukim ki lo haisa yitzira al zeh hadmus hefker ulelotam rak letzorach gadol ulatam nechbad vehaoso yisbarach rotze bekiyumo. So here he's telling us a very important idea, which is that there's more to our physical body than just what the scientists will tell you. The physical body represents deep secrets and ideas. This is the idea of Telem Elokim. If you take a look at the source right below, it's a pasuk from Iyov, Umibsariya Chazal Loka. So the Zohar and other sources say, what does this pasuk mean? From my flesh, from my body, I can perceive God. That we can come to a certain perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through looking and understanding our body. If you look at the, Kabbalistic pictures, I'm sure you're familiar with, like the picture of the 10 spheros that are organized or structured like the human body. We have the mochin on top, which are connected to the brain. You have the middle ones. You have the lower ones. If you want to have some understanding, we could look at our body and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look just briefly at the Maharal right below, who expresses this a little more. In Tiferes Yisrael, ki al tachshov kmo shechashu ktsas mi adam hem arofim, ki advarim shal adam hem tiviyim kmo shar bali agof. Don't think like the doctors think, that human limbs are just like natural, biological, like they are in other creatures. Ki ena davar kach klal, lo yedu be'emes toar ha'adam ve'evarav. They don't really understand the Torah of a person. Shekulo aloki. Shenemar, nase adam etzalmenu, yedgu b'dgas hayam vof ha'shemayim. That's part of Telem Elokim. Lufikach, misbar mitzvos, shem shleimos ha'adam, kemisbar evarav. Shehem, gam ken shleimos umaylos ha'adam. Adshu b'Telem Elokim, aydei ramach evarav. That's why we have ramach evarim, shesagidim. The Maral elsewhere in Baragola writes about how people sometimes make fun of Chazal. They say, they don't know what they're talking about. They say there's ramach evarim and shesagidim. So what does he mean? In other words, a person goes ahead and they study anatomy. They look at an anatomy textbook. And they see, it doesn't say there's ramach evarim shesagidim. So clearly, Chazal don't know what they're talking about when it comes to science. And the Maral writes that people that make that claim don't understand what Chazal are trying to do when they discuss matters of science. Chazal are not trying to tell us the reasons, the biological reasons. You can understand the physical body and the purpose and the goals of the physical body by studying science, by studying anatomy, and you'll study these things, and that's correct. That's the purpose of this limb. Chazal and the Torah in general are interested in not understanding the reasons for things, but the reasons behind the reasons. Yes, the immediate reason, I think we've talked about this other times, for a particular organ is whatever, is to do that or this or the other thing or digestion or the like. But what's the reason behind the reason? Why was it the way it is? What's behind it all? I once heard the phrase, if someone asks why once, so they're a scientist. If you ask why twice, you're a philosopher. In other words, you say, what's the reason behind the reason? What's the ultimate why? Metaphysics. If you ask why a third time, you're a two-year-old. But that's really what the Maral is saying. The Maral is saying that when we talk about the body, so we are, when Chazal are talking about the body, they're not interested in, and it's not their focus, the physical aspects of the body. There are deeper secrets here, Mibsariya Chazaloka, and therefore, that is really what is behind this. And so the Ramban over here is saying that, when you ask what's the purpose of the body, so in Olam Haba, the answer is that you think that the body is just this physical thing that practically takes care of our physical needs. And if you think that is true, so then it's good question. Why would we need these physical organs in a spiritual existence? But the truth is that there's something much deeper about the body. There's an idea that the Ramban also says in many places. He talks about the fingers and the spheros, and talks about it, for example, when he talks about Kiddush Adam Raglayim, that there's deeper ideas here. There's more to the body than just the physical needs. And we'll elaborate on that in a minute, but let's keep on going in the Ramban. The imtik shalenu, kima guf min ashvalim la'olam. So what he's saying is that you might ask, there's a technical problem, right? What happened to the principle of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, if there's no such thing as a physical thing that doesn't break down forever? The Ramban is saying that what is olam haba? You're going to last forever with the body and soul united, but there's no such thing as a body, as a physical body that lasts forever. In other words, if you learn like the Rambam that it's just the soul that's lasting forever, fine, that makes a lot of sense. But there's no such thing as a body that lasts forever. So if that's your question, kfar shivunu alacha ki kiyum haguf yeh bekiyum hanefesh. In other words, no, the existence of the body will be dependent upon the spiritual soul. The kiyum hanefesh behis yachda bedas alyon, and therefore the soul which clings to God will last forever. And thus it's going to be mekayemet forever. Let's elaborate just a little bit. It's true that we have laws of thermodynamics, the principle of entropy. But is there always entropy? Chazal say that the eish shalmala, it burns without being consumed, as opposed to the eish shalmata, which whenever it burns is consumed. Meaning to say, what does that mean, right? So eish shalmata, you can't have burning without fuel. But do we always find burning with consumption? No. The sneh bo'er ba'eish ve'ein ha'okal, there was burning without consumption. The ner maravi in the mikdash, the nes of the pach ha'shemen in the story of Hanukkah. The fire of shamayim burns without consumption. Consumption, entropy, is indeed a characteristic of the physical world, but not the eternal spiritual world. And therefore, says the Ramban over here, that because the physical body in Olam Haba is supported by the eternal soul, which itself is supported by God, so therefore, there won't be entropy. And he says, Kasher namin afilu b'pshat haksuvim. Al Adam Harishon, Shayarawi, she's kind the Yichya, La'ad, Ilochata Bachetahu. The truth of the matter is, the Ramban says this is Pshutosho Mikra. After all, look in Parshas Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Eitz HaChayim. And indeed, he expels Adam Harishon from Gan Eden after he's chote with the Eitz HaDas Tovara. Why? Lest he eat from the Eitz HaChayim v'chai li'olam. So what do you see from there? Pshutosho Mikra. What you see is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Eitz HaChayim, which would lead to eternal life. That was life with the body. That was, as it were, the original plan, had Adam acted as he should have. He didn't. So he had to be separated from the Eitz HaChayim. But you see from the very concept of the Eitz HaChayim that, yes, eternal life with the body is something that the Torah subscribes to. And that's going to be the eternal life of Olam Haba. We can connect to it with the Eitz HaChaim of Torah, but eventually, after Tchias HaMesim, that will be the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create he separated us from the Eitz HaChaim, as it were, temporarily, but not forever. Then he concludes, again, for us, this is a much longer piece in the Ramban, you should really read the whole thing, but for our purposes, the last paragraph. Even if there are things that you don't understand in this presentation, right? As we saw, the Rambam really rejects this idea because he thinks it doesn't make sense that we would have a physical body that would last forever in a spiritual existence. Aval namin shehu kein, ki abore osa yisborach shemo yodea misodos hanefesh umahusa yoser michachmasenu. You know, let's be a little bit humble. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, we don't see the purpose, perhaps, fully of understanding why there would be a physical body in Olam Haba, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows more about it and he made it that way. If we look at Rabbeinu Bachya, I want to elaborate on this point of the purpose of the body in Olam Haba. We'll read Rabbeinu Bachya and then another Maharal, and we'll try to understand this idea of the purpose of the guf in Olam Haba a little better. Rabbeinu Bachya writes, Amnam lo kein das chachmei HaTalmud, after having quoted the perspective that Olam Haba has no body, he says that is not the approach of Chazal, Biyodei HaKabbalah, nor of the Mekubalim, Kihem Sovrim, She'en Misa Achar HaTchiyah. There is no Misa after Tchiyas HaMesim, like the Rambam claims. Mimasha Kasav, Bila Mavis LaNetzach. That's what the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says. God is going to swallow death forever, which means we'll live forever with the body. Umimasha Darshu, Razal, Mesim Shasar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachios, Shuv Enim Chosen Lafan. It says that they're not going to die again. Val HaOlam, She'achar Tchiyah Amru Razal, Bebrachos, The very Gemara that the Rambam quoted in support of his position, Rabbeinu Bach is going to show now, actually supports the opposite position. Why would Chazal have to say there's no eating and drinking in Olam Haba if there's no body? It's obvious. If we had no guf, there wouldn't be eating and drinking. The very fact that Chazal say there's no eating and drinking shows us that there's a body, but there's no eating and drinking. She'im ha'yusham gufos ein tzarech lomar she'im ba'lo achil lo shtiyah v'lenefashos v'akeim na'amin she'ubnei ha'olam ha'ba b'gufos yizbatu mehem ha'kochos ha'gufios. So it is true that the physical needs of the body will be batel after tzchiyas ha'meisim olam ha'ba just look at what happened to Moshe Eliyahu. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved such a high madrega in Ruchnius at Har Sinai that he didn't need to eat and drink. When he reached a certain madrega, though he had a physical body, there was no need for things like eating and drinking. And the same thing, even more so, will be so in Olam Haba. You'll say, okay. Same question that the Ramban addressed, that these kalim, our body, our stomach, our hand, they'll be levatala. Enan levatala. Me'afashem mekablam haschar v'atayinu beguf uvenefesh yachdav. Kishem shishtadlu b'kiyam ha-mitzvos v'tirchu bohen ke'achad beguf v'nefesh. Just like they worked hard to get, to deserve Olam Haba together, guf v'nefesh, so too they'll be rewarded. Well, let's elaborate here a little bit. There's a Gemara also in Sanhedrin that tells the following story. There's once upon a time a king, and he had a beautiful orchard, and he put a blind person and a lame person in charge of watching this beautiful orchard. So the king comes back a bit later, and he sees all the fruits are gone. So he says to the blind person, what's going on? The blind person says, well, it can't be me. Look, I can't even see where the fruits were. I couldn't have possibly taken them. He says to the lame person, no. The lame one says, it couldn't have been me. I can't walk there. Right? I can't walk by myself. I couldn't have possibly picked them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the lame person on the shoulders of the blind person, and he judges them together. Same thing with the guf and nefesh. You know, the guf, a person dies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the nefesh. He says, well, what accounts for the averos? And the nefesh says, well, what do you mean? Look, as soon as I separated from the body, I've just been floating around. I haven't done any averos. He turns to the guf. And the guf says, well, ever since the soul separated from me, I've been buried underneath the ground. You know, I've been in a refrigerator. Couldn't have been me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the guf and nefesh together and judges them. So what are Chazal telling us here? Chazal are telling us that we are more than just our bodies. And we are more than just our souls. The scientists are wrong when they say all a human being is his physical body, his cells, his brain is just a bunch of neurons. Somehow or another, consciousness emerges from a brain in a way that nobody quite understands, you know, the hard problem of consciousness, and that's it. But we're just our bodies, and that's that. There's nothing more to us than that. And the philosophers are also wrong when they say the real me is my soul. There's nothing more to me than my soul. At the root of the position of the Rambam is the idea that we are really only our neshama. So what part of us is going to last forever? Where is our nitzchias achieved? It's achieved in the eternity of the soul. Because, well, that makes sense if all we really are is our soul. But that's also not correct. We're not just our soul. We are the merger of the body and the soul. The true me emerges from that. And just like it's body and soul together that did the mitzvos, that learned the Torah by which the person is zoicha to Olam Haba, so it's only fair that he be rewarded in Olam Haba. If it's only his neshama, then he isn't really being rewarded. It's only part of him. And therefore, the schar in the Olam HaNeshamos in Gan Eden is incomplete because it's not the whole person. That's what Rabbeinu Bach is saying over here. V'shiyya ne'atak me'olam ha'tchiyya el ha'olam ha'ba uven b'gof uven nefesh. V'kach darshu, let's not read the end. Take a look at the Maral, which is below this. Ha'filosofim asher zacharnu l'mala yitnu shem v'tiferes ala seichel. The philosophers, he may not be referring to the Rambam, specifically, he's talking about really the Greeks. But the philosophers made a mistake in exclusively glorifying the Seichel. Validea muskalos yikne adam hanitzchios, and through the acquisition of concepts and ideas, knowledge, a person acquires eternity. V'yasu amaisem ha'isharam v'atovim kemo tchuna v'sulam. And they see the actions, the mitzvos, as a mere ladder, asher yagia bahen ela muskalos, through which a person reaches these muskalos. Umizah sulam naflu, from this ladder they themselves fell. In other words, the problem, our rejection of the philosophers, is the philosophers do see the only accomplishment that's everlasting, that's eternal, is the acquisition of knowledge. And that's not true. Along similar lines, I forgot to put it on, but if you look at the Geras HaKodesh, which is attributed to the Ramban, so he challenges the Rambam. He says the Rambam made a big mistake when he quotes Aristotle as saying that the Mishgal is a Gnai. In other words, the idea that there is no value, eternal value, to anything physical, that we should distance ourselves from it as much as possible. That's not the approach of the Torah. The approach of the Torah is that Kedusha could be accomplished through Chibur, that there could be mitzvos associated with Achila, that it's not just the seichel that lasts forever, and it's not just intellectual achievements that give a person eternity. It is rather all of mitzvos, and therefore, likewise, it's the guf and the neshama that's going to experience eternity, because that's who we really are. It's very interesting, actually. In last week's source sheets, we didn't read it together, but you'll see I put a piece from Reb Chaim Vital in which he talks about the idea that we are not really our bodies. That doesn't define us who we are. It says in the Pasuk that you cloak me, you surround me in my body, which means then that the body isn't me. If you take a quick look, if you want to look it up, in last week's Mar Makomos, it's number 24, right? So the Pasuk in Iyov says, or uvasar talbisheni, uvatzamos v'gidim tesochecheni, that you've clothed me in the skin and flesh with bones and sinews, you covered me. So clearly the me is not my body, because if I say that I've been clothed in skin and flesh and a body. So that's not me. It's my clothing. It's not me. So what is the real me? The real me is obviously my soul, right? That's why he says, the Pasuk says, talks about Basar Adam. When it talks about our skin, it's the Basar of the Adam is his flesh, but not the Adam. At the same time, we also say, seemingly, the opposite. Elokai neshama shenasata bi, the neshama that you put in me is tahori. So obviously, if the neshama is in me, so I'm not my neshama, right? If I am my neshama, so you wouldn't say Elokai neshama shenasata bi. So who's the me? So it's not my body, as we just saw, and it's not my neshama. So the answer is, as we've seen, it's in the interaction. It's in between the two. The way the Gra puts it, along similar lines, is it's in the ruach. There's a nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So it's not the nefesh, it's not the neshama, but it's in the ruach. It's in a combination that we experience bechira. That is the basis of bechira. If all we were the neshama, then there would be no desire to do anything wrong. If all we were was the nefesh, so we'd be no different than animals, just following our instincts and pursuing life and in a very instinctual way. The me, the makom of bechira, is in the seichel. And that is what is zocha to nitzchias. And that's why, by definition, we need the body, because that's who we are, and that's gonna be what it's in the interaction, it's in the combination that we're defined. And so that's why the ultimate schar is post chias amesim. The olam haneshamos. The olam haneshamos for the Ramban is very similar to the olam haba of the Rambam, except that for the Rambam, that's olam haba, that's all there is. For the Ramban, it's the olam haneshamos. There is reward for the neshamos, but it's not the main act. It's not what we're longing for, because it doesn't relate to all of us. It only relates to part of us. The idea that we saw in Rabbeinu Bachya of Moshe Rabbeinu achieving such a tikkun on the guf. So what he's saying is that if a person is mizakech their guf, so there's no stira between nitzchias and the guf. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when a person reaches a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, so there's no need for food, because at that point the body has become purified, dependent on the soul. It no longer needs physical nourishment for sustenance. Similarly, by Eliyahu Hanavi, that's true for everybody in Olam Haba. For everybody in Olam Haba, they reach a place where their body is entirely supported by the soul, meaning to say that it's a spiritual existence, even though there's a physical body. And that brings us actually, I guess, to what will have to be our last point, which is, even though it seems from here that there's this, you know, huge machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, I think the truth of the matter is that there is fundamental agreement. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree that Olam Haba is the ultimate reward. They both agree that it's an entirely spiritual existence. They both agree that it's about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can't connect to while we're on this world. And that is the ikkar. What they disagree about is, I don't want to minimize it. I don't want to just say it's just technicalities. As we've seen today, it does reflect a certain fundamental idea. But ultimately, it's not the essential point. In other words, the essential point is that we have eternal life. And the eternal life is a spiritual life. It's a result of what we've done in this world. It's about kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe I'll close with a nice vart that I heard from Rostov, which I guess relates to the point a little bit that we were talking about today between the Ramban and the Rambam. And it's from his Zemer. Did I ever tell this to you? No. That we say a Shabbos day, written by the Ibn Ezra. So we say over here, let me just pull it up. It's written the Kiyash Merav Shabbos. So one of the stanzas says, "Huyom Mechubad, Huyom Tanugim." Shabbos is a day of, it's Mechubad, it's a day of pleasure, of Tainug, Lechem V'Yayin Tov, Basar V'Dagim. We eat good food. Hamis Avlim Bo, Asur Nisogim. Those who have Avelas on Shabbos are going backwards. Kiyom Smachosus Samchin. Mechel, I needed the previous paragraph. That's what I wanted. Rasham Bedasa Kel Chok El Saganav. It's written in the Torah and Dasa Kel Echok to the Skan, which is the Kohen Gadol. So what is this law? Bo Laroch Lechem Panim Befanav. That on Shabbos we do Arichos Lechem Apanim. So it's interesting. It's called a chok. One of the interesting things that it's called a chok, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, in the Mishnah Torah, in the third chelak, gives reasons for all the mitzvot. And he says, you know, there's one thing I really don't understand, and that's the lechem apanim. So what's so mysterious about the lechem apanim? And if you could explain paraduma, why lechem apanim is he stuck on? Right? And here the Ibn Ezra also calls it a chok. Okay, let's read on a little. Al-Kain, Lisanos bo al pinavo navasur. So therefore, fasting on Shabbos is asur. Levad mi Yom Kippur avoni, except on Yom Kippur. So what's he getting at? Why is the isser of tainis a reflection of the lechem apanim? So presumably, what the Rambam was so troubled by with lechem apanim is it goes against all the rules. Generally speaking, the more a karban is lefnim, so the less shayach it is to achila. For example, achatas pnimi is entirely nisraf. And presumably that's because something that's so holy, that's brought lefnim, so it's not shayach to achila. But the lechem apanim is the exact opposite. The lechem apanim is lefnim, it's entirely lefnim, and yet it's entirely nachal. The entire thing is eaten. The only chelek mizbeach is the bazichin. So the entire thing is eaten, and yet it's entirely pnimi. And that's so mysterious, because we would expect that the holier something is, so the less shayach it is to physicality. And here we have something that's so holy, that's entirely pnimi, and it's entirely eaten. And so the Rambam says, I don't understand. So what's Ibn Ezra saying? Ibn Ezra saying, no, what's the chok? That on Shabbos, in other words, through Kedusha, then we can elevate the physical such that it too is something ruchni. That's the secret on Shabbos. Maybe during the week, the food we eat is taka, our gashmias is a stira to the ruchnias. But the Shabbos, we have this concept that we could achieve ruchnias through gashmias, right? And that's why Tainis is asur on Shabbos, because the avodas Hashem on Shabbos is to achieve the ruchnias through the gashmias. Oh, and that's what it's saying. So that's the yesod hadvar. In other words, what the Rambam didn't understand is the ability to achieve kedusha and tara and ruchnias through the physical thing. The physical body was much more of a distraction. And that's the truth of the matter is, like Ibn Ezra saying, that's true most of the time, most of the week, you know, it relates to our Yetzer Hara. But it's shayach to have Kedusha. It's shayach to have Nitzchias as well. And that we have Me'en Olam Haba on Shabbos. So because if we have Me'en Olam Haba on Shabbos, so Me'ela, we're able to tap into that eternity, that Ruchnias, that's even in the physical body. And that's a little bit of what Olam Haba is. What Olam Haba is forever, the real thing, is this eternal life with the guf and the neshama, where we are rewarded as a true and unified and whole being. All right, have a good Shabbos. I'll think about next week what we're going to do. Shkayach.
Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.